Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the first official episode.
First official.
Of Small Screen Couch Commentary Fallout.
Oh.
Season one.
Season uno.
Maybe there'll be more. We don't know.
I saw something on the internet, but it was on the internet. They already,
oh, it's definitely true then.
Yeah, so it's probably true. They agreed to do a second season already, but I don't know if that's true or not. I will do some research later.
I'm thinking it's probably on the table, obviously, but they're going to wait to see what the numbers are like.
Sometimes people are like, sometimes they just go ahead and confirm it before the seasons are released. I'll double check on that, but I'll tell you what, with the reviews I've been flying out, it's possible they might do that.
It's possible.
But you know what? They'll wait to find out what we think of it.
Oh, of course.
And
of
then
course.
They'll make their call, which is a smart decision.
Well, let's jump right into it. As always, first things first, what were you snacking on during this first episode?
Some rice and beans.
Oh.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Very nice. Very nice.
Very good.
Similar situation over here. Oh. Pork fried rice.
Ooh.
Homemade.
Ooh.
So not quite the real thing. But even the real thing isn't the real thing.
No,
it's like Americanized Chinese food.
Yeah, but I think the homemade is probably more the real thing.
No. I'm talking about like authentic Chinese. Like,
oh, authentic Chinese.
Yeah. Yeah. That's what I mean by the real thing.
Gotcha. Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. Sorry. I'm not so worldly.
I mean, I'm not either. But yeah. So what was your rating for this first episode?
This was an 8.5.
Okay. Starting out high.
Yeah. This was so good.
Okay.
Yeah.
I was slightly lower. I went 8.3.
I almost went there, but then there was something that bumped it over the top for me.
Okay. Okay. I will say this. I'm pleasantly surprised by how much I like the show.
Big time.
But also, and not that I was super duper into Fallout the video game, certainly not as much as you were.
Mm-hmm.
I think I've learned from just, you know, how I've watched Avatar and just other stuff over the last couple of years, that the more I kind of disassociate this new IP from anything that it was inspired by or that it came from, the more I'm able to enjoy it.
Yeah. This obviously is easier because it's its own story. It's not trying to copy a story too.
True.
Really nice. And I think this is a great world for that.
Yeah. Agreed. I kind of, before the trailer had come out and like when the buzz was happening, I was like, man, I want there to be like tie-ins from the game. I want there to be like some cameos and this and that, whatever. But now I'm kind of just like, you know what? I think it's a good enough show that it stands on its own 2 feet. A
couple Easter eggs here and there, and I'm good, which they already kind of did.
Oh, absolutely.
So, yeah. Absolutely. The big thing for me was actually because this episode felt like an opening to a Fallout game.
Very much so.
Yeah, like it felt like how the story would start in one.
Yeah, yeah. Well, let's go through this first beginning part because there's a lot to unpack here, both with the show and then also me personally just like watching it. Like what I was feeling.
Scared the shit out of me.
Oh, absolutely.
Scared the shit out of me.
Yeah.
Yeah, for sure. So we open up at a kid's birthday party. Now, is this 1950s or is this?
That's the weird thing I don't know about the show because there's a large time jump.
There is. Obviously. And so for me, playing the games, I always thought it was 1950s, but with a little bit extra technology. But I had a friend tell me it's actually the 2050s. So I was like, oh.
So that's kind of the vibe that I was getting.
Yeah.
Is that it was an alternate universe, I guess, if you will,
yeah,
from our own.
That's what I thought.
In which it is more modern times, but they still, in a lot of ways, aesthetically and other things, are of like our version of the 1950s.
Yeah.
It's weird.
It's weird. It's black and white TV.
Yeah.
Everybody's wearing
entire,
the clothes.
Yeah,
they do
the
have
music,
but they do have the floating robots. You know, so it's like, how do you not have colored TV, but you got floating robots?
Right, right. And that's the other thing too. It's just like when the time jump happens, you're kind of just like, okay, you're kind of left to your own devices to try and think. Okay, well, how did both the world and then the people in the vault, like, how did they get from where they are then to now with the technology, with their lifestyle, whatever.
Yeah.
There's just a lot here. So anyway,
yeah,
we're at a kid's birthday party.
Yeah. And
it's a Western themed birthday
Western
party.
Western cowboy themed, right?
Yeah,
yeah. Yeah. So we've got a guy, I can't remember his name right now.
Walter Goggins? Or yeah, like his character?
His character. Ugh. Anyway, his character is putting on a show for the kids. He's got a horse. He's letting the horse do things. He's standing on the horse at some point and like doing a little lasso stuff.
Right, right.
Pretty cool. And you can tell that everybody's loving it. But he apparently is more famous because they start to talk about why is he doing this
yeah.
for money when he you know, he's popular.
Right, right.
And they're like, oh, he has a kid, so that, I forget, maybe a divorce. I think it was.
Yeah, he was the one guy said, "Well, oh, why is he doing this?" He's like, "Oh, alimony, of course."
Yeah,
you know. And for those of you that don't know, alimony is what you pay to your spouse after you get divorced, so that they can maintain their lifestyle. I don't know from personal experience. I hope I don't ever have to.
Me either. That's the scary part.
Yeah.
No, but yeah, no. So that's going on like normal. But you start to see the mom at what this is what like starts really getting the vibe of the world at that time is the mom's walking through the house getting the cake ready. And first the news is on and they're talking about possible nuclear attacks, when they could happen, when they couldn't happen and everything. And then she turns it off and she tells like all the other moms, hey, this is a happy day. Let's not think
about
that.
Let's not focus on that. Yeah.
Goes out. They celebrate the birthday. But then really the big part is when they come back in. And they're cutting the cake. Oh, sorry. Let's go back a little bit.
Yeah.
They take a picture with the wife takes a picture with the guy riding the horse. And they're like, hey, can you do the thumbs up thing? And he's like, considering the world right now, I don't really want to.
Right, right.
And they touch on this a little bit later. And they're like, oh, come on, why not? He's like, I'd just rather not. And the wife's like, don't push it.
Right.
The husband's kind of a dick about it.
He is. He is being a dick. And so is his little buddy that's
yeah.
with him, too. Now, I do want to mention as well, the guy that's doing the character that's doing the cowboy show, he has a little helper with him,
yeah,
who's also dressed up in a little cowboy suit and whatnot, and we actually find out then after a little bit that is his daughter.
Yes.
So yeah, the cowboy, he's there, he's doing his little show, the kids are loving it, but obviously the adults that are there are not necessarily feeling him, you know, whatever.
Yeah.
And he also is feeling the tension with them as well.
Yeah.
He's picking up that they're not a big fan of him.
I think
for whatever
of him and feeling just uncomfortable. But, I mean, the wife loves him and
yeah.
stuff. But, yeah, I think the whole vibe is just uncomfortable because you kind of find out what state the world's in by the comment made here and in the news. But then when the kids start to eat cake, they go to turn on the TV and it's weather. And the guy telling the weather, he's just like, the weather tomorrow, he's like, I can't do this. I can't do this. How can I talk about the weather when I don't even know if there's going to be a next week? And you're
right.
like, holy shit.
Yeah.
So the mom goes and turns it off. But in this during this time, the dad and the daughter are talking, and she's like, well, what's the thumb thing? And he ends up explaining to her, if you hold your thumb out in front of you and you know close one eye, if the mushroom cloud from an atomic bomb is smaller than your thumb, you can turn and run.
Yeah.
And she goes, well, what if it's bigger? And he's like, there's no point in running.
Right, right.
And so it's okay. And she's like, well, could I have some of that cake in there? And he's like, well, let me try to get some. So he goes in, and I thought this was done super cool. Because I was like, why aren't they noticing this? But it's because right at the time that you see a camera flash, it's a little bit flashier outside through the window. By the way, this is like in L.A., it seems like.
Yeah, L.A. or somewhere out in California, very... like in the hills type
home.
You can
see like the big city in the background.
Right, right. And you see the house, it has like floor to ceiling windows.
Yeah.
You know, very posh, very nice house.
Yeah, very posh. Oh.
Yeah, yeah.
So as the camera flash goes off, the daughter's looking toward the city pretty scared. And she puts her thumb up.
Well, and you see a really bright flash
yeah,
outside.
But nobody notices it.
Except the girl.
Except right. the girl, because everyone's inside with the camera flash, so it kind of makes you think, oh, they just, the camera flash, whatever.
Right.
And finally the dad comes out and is just like, here's your cake, and she has her thumb up, and she goes, is it my thumb or your thumb? And then he looks out, and he's like, that's just a fire. And you see the city just like this huge cloud of smoke.
Right.
Just taking over the buildings in slow motion. And it's a big back and forth flashing in slow mo to both of them. And he's pretty much like, oh, fuck. Because then you start to see the mushroom form.
Yeah. Huge, gigantic mushroom cloud.
Yeah. And this is way bigger than their thumbs.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. And so right there, first of all, that scared me, right?
Oh, absolutely.
You're like, because at this point...
Well, you're thinking he already told his daughter, like, if it's bigger than your thumb, like, you know, you don't even bother running. So it's like, okay, well, what exactly is going to happen next here? And then you start to see kind of a ripple effect.
Slow motion of the shockwave coming through.
Ripping through the whole city. And this house, it's up in the hills, so it's overlooking the city.
Yeah.
And you see just the buildings start to get, like, demolished in this shockwave. And then the shockwave reaches them, and it hits, and it, like, breaks the windows.
All the glass.
People fall over. And everyone just starts
pandemonium. Pandemonium.
Right.
Matter of fact, the dad, they have a nuclear shelter. And he takes the family there, and his buddy, who he was all cool with just a minute ago, is like, let me in too. And the dad's like, get the fuck out of here, and punches him right in the face.
Yeah. Everyone starts running. Now, I do want to touch on that because, and maybe this might be a little controversial, a little hot take here. This is the other reason why I also didn't think it was the 1950s, at least our 1950s.
Because Buddy was
His buddy was black.
Yeah, okay.
And
yeah.
So you're thinking, if this is like our time, 1950s, there wouldn't be that kind of relationship.
Right. I kind of figured it was an alternate universe, 1950s. But yeah.
Maybe. But,
yeah, you might be right. I bet you there's an answer to this.
I'm sure eventually we'll get something.
but yeah,
who knows?
Either way, so what happens is Cowboy gets the daughter up on the horse, and they're riding through the hills trying to find, but they're getting closer to it, by the way.
Well, yeah, so, well,
because there's
the hills
no way.
There, it's kind of like curved.
Yeah,
so you're kind of, you know, he's just trying to get away, but the crazy
this
thing
is. This
is
the part that scared me.
Yeah. As he's going away and you see that mushroom cloud, then you see, boom,
another
explosion, and another
boom,
mushroom another cloud, one. And then another, and it's just bombs going off.
Oh my God. It's, yeah, that's like, the fact that people, the world survived this at all blows my mind, because that's just in one city.
Right, yeah. Right. Now, before we go any further, I just want to touch on this because, one, within the last, you know, year, obviously, we got the movie Oppenheimer, mm-hmm. which was crazy, and when I watched that... super duper good movie, but also super duper sad.
Yeah.
Because it doesn't even give you a good glimpse of what it was like, but like gives you the smallest glimpse of what the world was like our world, like real history of what the world was like when the first atomic bomb, you know, was made and obviously used, and the horrific outcome that came from that.
Yeah.
And that's like kind of what I thought, because I got that same feeling. Like when I watched Oppenheimer, I was sad.
Oh, yeah.
That movie. And when I watched this, it kind of brought me right back to that. I'm like, oh my gosh. Like I couldn't imagine in real life when it happened to another country decades before I was born. And watching this, I'm like, what if something like that happened here?
It'd be crazy.
I would. It would just be insane.
Yeah, it was super scary.
All those people just disintegrated, essentially.
I guess.
Deleted from life.
Yeah. Well, maybe.
Maybe.
Maybe not. but yeah, either way, that's like, we know how, obviously watching Oppenheimer, just going through school and everything, you know, like, that's what happens. You just get disintegrated.
Yeah.
And especially that close range, you're
done. You're done.
But yeah, so then it flashes to this girl in the vault. And I love this. So she brings up like her skill sets, which if you didn't play the game, you have skill sets like speech, which is how you can kind of coerce people to do things for you.
Right.
Strength, gun, how you are with guns, some other stuff. I forget what else she mentioned, but she was mentioning those skill sets from the game and how good she is at them. And then shooting, she's okay. She could work on it.
You know what's crazy though? She said, "Oh, I'm not that great at shooting," but when she like shot at the target, like she hit center mass, like,
yeah,
on all her shots.
Yeah, she's very humble. Humble.
Very much a humble brag.
Yeah. And you come to find out here that she's talking to three people because she wants to get married, but there's no one to marry. She's getting older. There's no one to marry in her vault, and she can't marry her cousin. She's like,
yeah.
Which you can't.
She mentions, it's funny because she goes, you know, despite all my skills and, you know, I think she even mentions like her good hygiene or whatever. She can't find a suitable husband or someone because of her, you know, it's mostly cousins or someone else that she's related to.
Yeah.
Now, here's the thing. There was a big time jump between
200 years,
the bomb going off in the beginning and this vault. Yeah, it's 200 years. So you got to figure the people that are here in the vault. If you haven't played the game, this might be a little jarring for you to just think, OK, how did we get from there to here? But essentially what happened is all the rich people had these fallout shelters, these vaults, and where they went to get away from the nuclear holocaust and the radiation and whatever else was going on up there. But they all were like separate, and they sealed them off not only from the outside world, but from each other as well.
Yeah, so there's, I mean, we know there's 31, 32, and 33 here, but there's like 70, I think there's like 100 something.
Yeah.
All across the country, there's these vaults made by a company named Vault Tech, which we'll keep seeing. But basically, yeah, rich people, they didn't want to have a, I guess, a storm shelter by their house. They wanted a community.
Right.
So they pretty much rent, I guess you could say, or bought these little areas to live in inside this vault.
Yeah. And you got to figure 200 years, that's, I don't know how much like a generation, how many years that is, but I'm thinking like 50 years.
Yeah, probably, you know, like at least 3 to 4.
So yeah, we're talking like 4 generations of families down there. Eventually, you're going to start running out of people
to mate with.
And to, you know, it's all, eventually it's like, okay, well, people are just going to start being like second, third cousins at best.
Yeah, and it gets real weird. So they do have, some vaults are connected through these long tunnels.
Right.
Which I don't know if this was in the game or not. I would assume there probably was somewhere at some point, one or two. But she wants...
The vaults are connected, but they're sealed by like huge blast doors.
Yeah. And you kind of find out why a little bit later in the season, but in the show... but it's also kind of understood, as a person who played the game, I know why they're sealed off.
Right.
But yeah, so she's pretty much petitioning to these people, like, hey, I want to, I think she said tri-centennial maybe or something like that. Every like 30 some years or something like that, they do a little trade-off with other vaults. They did it with 32 at one point, and this is 31 or no, 31 this is, to 40.
Yeah. This is vault 33. They did mention some other vault. I don't remember the
31.
Number. Yeah.
And then that's who her friend got married with, I think, or her dad did. And then now this is 32. So she wants to do a little trade-off with 32. And they pretty much approve it. Like, hey, you know, you're good. So she gets on a wedding dress with one of her friends who's kind of important, not important. And the whole vault is traveling with her, including her dad, who's the overseer, which is kind of like the mayor or governor of the vault.
Yeah, I'd say governor probably is.
And they're walking down this long tunnel, and they have one guy who has access to open these doors.
Right.
And the button doesn't work. We come to find out this is her cousin, who is madly in love with her.
Right.
And she has to go, hey, I know you are in love with me, but, you know... being with your cousin is not a good sexual idea or something like that.
Well, she even alludes to the fact, she's like...
They messed around.
Yeah, that they did some cousin stuff.
Yeah.
But that's not really something that's sustainable long term.
And he's like, okay.
Yeah.
So he does open the door and let him in. And then you got 32 comes through. And there's a small conversation like, hey, sorry to hear about your overseer passing away. And the lady's like, yeah, it's all good. You know, it sucks, but it's what it is.
They start then talking about the trade that they want to do. So Vault 33, where this girl is from, and her name is Lucy, by the way, they say, okay, well, we will give you like seeds and some parts and other things to help, you know, your vault maintain and like stay on its feet and whatever. And the overseer from the other vault, she's like, yeah, you know, after we had the blight with our wheat, you know, this will really help. In exchange for what you're giving us, we'll give you a breeder.
Mm-hmm.
And so a couple of things I want to just talk about here. It's funny to me that all these, you know, people that are down in these vaults, they have a very regimented lifestyle, at least from what we see in Vault 33, a very regimented lifestyle, very civil lifestyle.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
They're all just very happy to be down there. Like, no one seems like they're depressed or that they're, you know, have any real issues in their lives.
Yeah.
And then when this other group comes through, you know, this obviously is something they communicated about. And it's essentially an arranged marriage
yeah.
between the two of them. Because this girl has her wedding dress and she even says, she's like, okay, well, can I see my husband who I'm going to marry or whatever? This guy comes out from the back and handsome looking dude, you know, yeah. handsome enough.
Fellow, her friend doesn't, her husband's not super attractive and she's like, yeah. lucky.
Right, right.
Which I felt so bad for him. He's like, what the hell?
Yeah. But essentially then they go, they have, you know, a nice little ceremony.
Yep.
And
a reception.
A reception, yeah. And the funny thing is, before this, they kind of showed as the opening scene of being introduced to the vault, they show like the workers and they're tending to corn crops.
Mm-hmm.
But in the background, you see it's kind of just like more fields and whatever, but it's just a projection
yeah.
of what a farm would look like.
Yeah.
Which was funny to me. But again, the other thing about the vault life, the aesthetic is very much almost like a time capsule
yeah.
of what the lifestyle was like 200 years ago. Everything has that 1950s vibe. You know, the attire is not the same because they all have these vault tech suits on.
Yeah.
But everything the music else, is. Yeah. The music is 1950s. The apartments, like their houses, the furniture, the appliances.
Oh, yeah. The ovens, like
yeah.
1950s spot on.
So, you know, they pretty much had everything that they had at the time when these shelters were built is still there and they haven't really progressed.
Yeah.
So, yeah, they go through this wedding, have a nice ceremony, have a nice reception. But the girl's brother.
Who, yeah, played by Moises something. I can't remember his name. He was a character in Hannah Montana.
Oh,
yeah.
Not know that.
Yeah.
Never watched Hannah Montana.
I did for a little bit and then I got too old.
You can tell he's kind of just like a little meek, little meager type guy.
Yeah, the whole, like they do the, like a quick montage of her life and he's in it a few times. He's always playing a game on his little Pip-Boy.
Yeah.
Which they have in here, which is nice.
Yeah.
And just kind of not tough, doesn't do much. He's the overseer's son, so he just kind of gets away with whatever. So he's just kind of playing video games most of the time, but he is kind of keeping to himself here.
Right.
But he keeps looking at the other overseer from Vault 32.
Right.
And I don't know if my first thought here was like, I see all these other people and they got like scars on their heads and stuff yeah. like that. And I'm like,
they're a little rough around the edges.
I was like, oh, what experiment was going on in 32?
That's what I was thinking as well. The other thing too, there's one part where they're during the reception, they're eating and this one lady has like her last bite of her meat that she had or whatever protein they were eating. And this lady next to her just like,
yep.
like stabs it with her knife and then takes it and eats it herself.
And they're all eating kind of like they, like how somebody got out of prison and usually eat like cover up food. And
yeah,
like, yeah they're yeah. eating like that.
Yeah. And, well, and the other thing too is they're kind of eating like it's their last meal.
Well, yeah. They never had food like this before.
Right. Right.
Yeah.
So
he gets a little curious.
Right. He goes over then and starts to wander through the tunnel that's connecting Vault 33. In Vault 32, where these people came from. And so when he gets there, the first thing he sees is their crop area is like decimated.
Yeah, there's
which,
no crops.
It's you know,
dead.
Being that they already said, okay, well, we had some blight that took out our crops, I wasn't that surprised.
Right.
But then the more he goes through the vault, the more he realizes like, yo, this place kind of looks like a shithole.
Yeah, like
whereas
almost
their
like,
vault
almost
is super
like
nice.
Nobody's been here for a while.
Right.
So right. while he's doing that, Lucy's husband's like, you want to show me our new home?
Yeah.
And she's like, okay. So they go there, and as she's like doing something in the kitchen or like what it has her back torn to him, he just takes his clothes off.
Yeah.
And she sees it, and she goes, okie dokie.
Yeah.
And just jumps
she
his
knew,
bones.
She knew what the situation
yeah,
was.
Just jumps his bones. So they go at it.
Yeah, consummate the marriage real quick.
So while they're going at it, this is when her little brother finds something a little off. He sees a guy in a chair and dead.
Yeah.
Leg is cut off and an arm is cut off.
Right.
So he's like, something's not right. So he's starting to run back through the tunnel and to probably to warn his dad or whoever. And so we get cut back to Lucy and she's in the bed kind of relaxing after going at it. And the one funny part, this guy walks up to the window,
yo,
wipes his bad boy on the curtain.
Yeah, total savagery.
Super savage.
Like, she's don't not- get me wrong. When you're done doing the deed, like, you kind of want to clean up a little bit.
Yeah.
But this guy had no regard for like decorum or manners.
No.
Just use the curtain to wipe his junk
off.
There's
a bathroom there. You could probably use a towel. Yeah, come on. Come on, dude.
So that's another reason then why you're kind of like, okay, something's off with these people.
Yeah. So what ends up happening is he goes to get a drink of water, and also you start to hear some noises, some loud bangs and screams. And Lucy's kind of like, what's popping off out there? So she gets out of bed, but she doesn't know anything that's happening. And all of a sudden you hear more bangs.
Yeah.
And she looks out and somebody gets murdered outside of her window.
Right. She puts her Pip-Boy on and immediately looks over the dude and realizes these are not people from Vault 32.
They're raiders. She had radiation reading, and his radiation reading was off the charts.
Yeah, so the Pip-Boy is, it's kind of like a little, kind of like personal computer, if you will.
It's their version of a smartwatch. It's a lot bigger than a watch. Yeah.
Huge.
Has a big screen on it. I love the way they use this in the show.
Yeah, it's very reminiscent of the game.
Mm-hmm.
And his radiation level, his rads.
His rads.
Is off the charts. And it's funny because... when you're, and I don't want to compare this to the game. I want to do that the least amount possible. But the Pip-Boy is such an, I know you will.
Yeah.
The Pip-Boy is such an iconic thing from the game that when she's using this, it automatically took me back to the game because the areas where like the rads are high, it's like you don't want to be there unless you are like kitted up.
Yeah. And it had the same noise, the ticking, all that, and the
Geiger counter noise.
Yeah. And it just, even the knob on the Pip-Boy is like. Perfect. They did a really good job with that.
Very good job.
But she says she recognized, hey, you're a raider. So the guy gets kind of like, okay, we're going to fight. So they start fighting. He does at one point say in it, like, just so you know, this was the best day of my life.
Absolutely.
So this guy just had sex with her and knows he's going to kill her. So they have a pretty awesome fight here. Like, and she's holding her own, but he's strong.
Right.
So
right.
She's getting tossed around the room a bit. You know, she's getting some licks in, but just not really doing much.
Yeah.
And then they start tussling. They have a knife. And they get pushed into the counter, and it turns out she gets stabbed. It's like, God dang.
Yeah. I thought, man, that would hurt so bad.
Yeah.
Because it was not a small knife either. It was a long knife.
It definitely got bloody quick.
Yeah.
But she somehow survives by grabbing the cup that was filled with water, the pitcher.
Yeah.
Glass. She breaks it, just shoves it in his jaw.
Oh, my gosh.
And just rips his jaw.
Yeah.
And throws him to the ground. He's bleeding on the ground. So then she gets
hold on. Before you say that, this happens in like every movie and every TV show. She like gets up, she's like holding, you know, her injured area where this knife is, and she pulls it out. Now, first off,
you don't do that.
You don't do not pull if something is impaled you, you do not
That's
pull it out.
That's holding your blood in for you. Right. Slowing the leak out, I guess.
Right, exactly. But she pulls it out and I wanted so bad to just like yell at the TV when I was watching, like, why did you pull that out, you idiot? But she did it for a specific reason.
Because she had a stim pack, which, again, this is not something we have in our world because people would use it all the time. But it's from the game and it helps you heal quicker.
Right.
So
right.
It's how you heal yourself in the game if your health gets low. Well, here, it helps that she stabs it into that area.
Right.
So it probably helps that heal. Now, not perfect. But it's healing better, so it stops the bleeding.
It's funny, though, because this little, like, stim pack is very much looking like...
The old school, like...
Yeah, the old school, like, metal syringes. It's, like, completely metal. Yeah, and if you've ever seen, like, how the medical equipment was back then, like, they reused a bunch of stuff, including needles and syringes.
Yeah.
And this looked exactly like that, and I'm just like, gosh... I would never have made it. Like, how did people survive when medical shit happened to them back then?
Yeah.
I mean, you know what? They didn't.
I guess so. I mean, but we're still here. We're here. So some people did.
Yeah. Yeah.
But yeah, so she heals herself up and she goes to the armory.
And it's already looted.
It's raided.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They took all the guns. There's a bunch of ammo and stuff around. But then she does find one weapon there,
mm-hmm.
which I think is another one that you get in the game in the beginning, isn't it?
I think so, yeah.
Yeah, I think at least in Fallout 4.
It's the one, it shoots little darts at
point. Yeah, it's a trank gun.
Yeah.
But yeah, so she gets that, and you just see then, as she's walking through the vault, there's just bodies all over the place.
This is a bloody fight. Like,
yeah, yeah.
This ain't cool at all.
But she walks out and she goes to this like kind of elevated level above where the reception was happening, and she looks down and it's just like a bunch of people fighting. All the Raiders and the Vault 33 people are just battling for their lives. And the Raiders, they all have weapons because they stole them from the vault there, or the weapons that they brought.
Yeah.
And, you know, some of the Vault 33 people are holding their own, but most of them are just getting slaughtered.
Yeah. Oh, it's definitely a slaughter. And it's kind of funny. So you're seeing all these different fights go on. One of them is her best friend, who's pregnant, by the way.
Yeah.
And she gets pissed off because her husband gets, like, fucked up.
Yeah.
So she runs at one of them, and she gets stabbed in the eye with a fork.
Yeah, I think it was like the fork was on the table sticking up for some reason.
Yeah.
And this dude like smashed her head in the table, but the fork is right in her eye. And mind you, this is one thing I wanted to point out. This is not like something where they just like have her head smack the table and then they just like cut away and
no,
come back.
She stands
and this fork
up.
In her eye.
Yeah.
Yeah. She stands up. This fork is sticking in her eye and she's bloodied up. This show is very graphic.
Very.
Not quite as graphic as, like, say, The Boys.
But it's up there.
Yeah.
I don't know, man. There's some parts that are pretty graphic.
There were a
even
couple.
In this episode, there were
a couple.
This is rated M for mature. You know?
But the thing I want to point out is that I think Amazon has done a pretty good job of their shows when it comes to the CGI, when it comes to the practical effects.
Yeah.
With all their shows, with The Boys, with Rings of Power that came out last year. I think they're all pretty good. Also, Wheel of Time. I don't know if they use the same VFX, you know, production house or whatever for all their shows, but
they're pretty
shout
good.
Out to them because they're doing a great job.
They're really good. By the way, the girl gets stabbed in the eye. She survives. She actually fights back with the fork in her eye.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, she goes. She fights back. She, I think she ends up killing one dude who had like a machine gun, and she picks it up.
And
she just starts
spinning in circles, shooting it off.
Yeah. Just spraying.
Something tells
praying.
Me she also hit some friendlies there.
Oh, she definitely you know what I mean? Did.
But she was pissed. But yeah, the fight's going on. At one point, Lucy's brother's under a table and gets dragged out. Lucy saves him. She finds a spot to hide him, but right after she hides him, another raider comes up to her and pretty much has her dead to rights.
Yeah.
But good old daddy.
Good old pop.
Bro, this guy's got some skills.
Yo.
He is a savage.
I think there is a lot more to him than meets the eye.
That's what I'm thinking, because the way he did this, like, this was cold-hearted stuff.
Yeah. He came bashed homeboy in.
Granted, though, somebody tries to kill my daughter. I'm fucking him up, and guess what? Then I'm still beating the shit out of their dead body.
Yeah,
so,
yeah, no remorse.
No, but he bashes with a shovel, and it's her husband who shows up. His jaw's all fucked up.
Right.
Yeah, that's who comes up back to her. So then, yeah, dad grabs the husband, beats him in the head with a shovel, fights him a little bit, and then shoves him into a big barrel of pickles.
Yes. He drowned him in the barrel of pickles. I forgot about that.
Yeah.
Which, like, I don't know if that's how pickles were shipped back then,
but
that was just insane.
It was hilarious. And first of all, that's one way to go. But you can even, while this is happening, like, she's looking at her dad like, I didn't know you were, like, a savage.
Yeah. Yeah.
But then an alarm goes off that something was breached. Some doorway was breached.
Right.
So her and the dad go there, and there's 6-7 civilians, one of them being her best friend, lined up right in front
and
of her.
And her cousin.
And her cousin.
Yeah.
Which, by the way, he wins in a fight by accident.
Yeah. He was fighting a guy that I think he like tripped and fell and then hit like the door, the button to like close the door.
His key card that he puts in to close the door came out.
That's what it was.
So the door started automatically closing.
Yeah. And just smushed this dude like blood everywhere.
All over her cousin.
Yeah.
But yeah, they're in front of a bomb and you have the group of raiders with them. And she's like, I wouldn't make a move. And they have a conversation. He's like, you have to make a choice to Lucy's dad. And the choice is either you save Lucy.
Or you save them.
Yeah. He chooses Lucy. He puts her into a little like closet, a metal doored closet to the side, locks her in there. And he's like, you're the most important thing to me, you know, so I'm not, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
Then you die.
But then immediately after he closes this door, here were my thoughts. I'm like, okay, well, this lady, the leader of the other, you know, the Raiders, this lady, I thought, okay, she's just going to kill them anyway. Like, yeah, she's going to kill all of them anyway. Like, why would you even do this? But the dad says to her, I think I know who you are. And this lady goes, everybody knows who I am. And immediately then the dad gets tranquilized.
Yeah. Well, then, because she does that, but she says his name. Am I correct here?
I don't remember exactly.
Yeah, because he knows, she also knows who he is. I'm pretty sure.
I don't know.
I feel like that happened. Either
maybe.
Way.
Maybe. But yeah, he gets tranquilized. They start dragging him off. And Lucy's behind this door, just like banging on the door, banging on the door. And the lady who is the leader of the Raiders, she like hits the button on the remote to this bomb. And she whispers in the one vault, you know, dweller's ear. She just goes, you guys should go and do what you do best. Go run and hide. So she didn't actually end up killing them, no. But they all started running. And shortly after that, this bomb goes off as the Raiders are escaping.
But yeah, I think all the vault dwellers survived, actually, because later on you see them when they're cleaning up.
Yeah. Yeah. We cut then after that. Lucy, you know, she's back in her apartment. She's like stapling her knife wound together.
Yeah.
And she's getting dressed again. And the vault people, they're all cleaning up all the dead bodies. They're going in like... they're trying to clean things up. The funny thing was there was one part where there's like just like a bloodied up poster.
Yeah.
And the dude rips the poster down, just puts a new one up.
A brand new one up, yeah.
Right. Brand new poster up, but the wall's still covered in blood.
It almost feels like this happened before. And this is the process.
Yeah. So I mean the vault, the people in the vaults, they know that there are survivors up top.
Yeah.
And one thing that we didn't get to mention during the wedding ceremony, Lucy's dad, he essentially is kind of making a speech. And his speech is essentially saying, like, you know, our civilization has been down here for the last 200 years. And we are really thinking that at some point here, the levels of radiation, by our calculations, are going to go down enough that we can go back up to the surface. And their whole reason for being down there and surviving and doing what they're doing is because they want to go then to save America.
Yep.
And they essentially want to rebuild the world.
It. Yep.
They know that there are survivors up there. And he even says, you know, I'm afraid that, you know, we'll have to go and teach these people up on the surface our way of life and, you know, how to be good people, whatever. And there's a small part of me that thinks they might change our minds, but... you know, we'll see how things go.
Yeah. I wonder how they know people are hurt.
Right. That's what I wanted to ask too. Like, I don't know how they know that there are people up there because they've been down here in these vaults, sealed off from the rest of the world, sealed off for the most part from each other. They can obviously communicate between the vaults, but how do they know? Unless in this 200 years, there have been times where they've tried to go up there or... maybe people have tried to come down there. They know there are Raiders, obviously.
Yep.
But that was kind of just a bit of a disconnect that I kind of thought the same thing.
Yeah, I don't know. Maybe there's a point to that because maybe, like you said, there's something more to the dad and he knows who that lady is. So there's something like there's a connection that maybe we'll get later in the season to why they know.
Yeah, yeah.
But either way, Lucy's like, hey, I think what we do is we let me go out and we get a search party and we go find my dad.
Yeah.
And they're like,
everybody down there scared shitless.
Yeah.
They're like, no
way. We're not going out there. Like,
they're like, if anything, this is more of a reason that we need to hunker down, that we need to isolate ourselves more.
Yeah.
We need to lock all our doors. Now, it's funny here when they're all having this conversation, her little brother looks up to her and she goes, they don't want to find dad because if they do, then they know they're not in charge anymore.
Right. Now that their dad's gone, these three people that she had talked to are now leading everything.
Right, right.
Yeah, which is a good point to make.
Oh, absolutely. And it's another thing that makes me think, okay, these vault people, although, you know, prior to this massacre that happened, they all seem happy. They all seem like, oh, life's just so wonderful. Leads me to believe that that's just kind of a facade, that they are really not.
To a degree, yeah.
Yeah, they're not all really that happy. They're not all really that okay with just being there and whatever.
Yeah.
But yeah, so Lucy decides, okay, well, I guess I have to go find my dad then.
Yeah, so she sneaks out with her cousin and her brother, And she goes up. Dude, this elevator. So this vault's deep underground.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, I think most of the vaults in the game were, yeah, too. There was like a big elevator.
You take an elevator way up.
Right.
And then there's a big vault door, which I love this scene because it's, again, reminiscent of the video game.
Yeah.
And the cousin wants to go with her. She says, no, you're not coming with me.
Yeah. She says, I don't want anybody else to get hurt on my account.
Yeah. So she drugs him. And, yeah. But still keeps his key card in so she can push the button. And she heads out before people can stop her.
Yeah. They do try to stop her, like two guys.
Yeah, but it's kind of funny because it's very half-ass.
Well, yeah, and the dude comes up, and he's like an older guy, and he just, like, I don't remember exactly.
Don't you dare step out that door.
He says something, like, very, like, dad-like, and he's like, don't you do that. And then she walks out anyway, and he just goes, well, that didn't work.
Yeah. I was like, oh, no shit.
Dude, you didn't even
try.
Yeah.
Yeah. But, again, so this is kind of where her story ends for this episode, but it was just such a great job, well done by them, making this feel like a good TV show, but I felt like I just watched somebody play the opening of a new Fallout game.
Yeah. I've only ever played 4, but I'm assuming all the others start very similarly, but when you start a Fallout game, you start out in the vault.
Yes, you're a vault dweller.
Yeah, and you're trying to get out of the vault and then go back up to the surface. Like, you do go back into the vault or other vaults in the game, but most of the game you're playing on the surface.
Yeah, but it was just cool because Fallout 4, your son gets taken away.
Right.
So you want to go and find him. That's why you leave. Fallout 3, I can't remember why you leave, but you go up and you leave. And it's like, but again, something happens in the vault that makes you have to leave. And it felt like that same story. So I was like, oh man, this is really cool. Like, I just saw the game in real live action. So
yeah,
that's pretty cool.
Well, and it's funny too because, like, when that vault door opens, you know, they're essentially seeing sunlight for the first time ever.
Yeah,
so it's super duper bright to them.
Yep.
And she, you know, walks out and she just sees she's basically in the middle of like a desolate wasteland.
Yeah.
She's kind of near the ocean. She can see the ocean.
There's a pier.
Yeah.
Where the Ferris wheel is still somehow standing.
Yep.
But yeah, it's the ocean right next to her.
And then she just sees, you know, it's like a desert and it's just empty. There's a bunch of like skeletons and bones and stuff. And she seems a little afraid because she's stepping into a whole new world.
Beautiful.
But yeah, so that ends Lucy's part of the episode here. The next part then, I believe, is when we see an old character come back. Or not an old character, but somebody from earlier in the show.
Do we? He's towards the end.
Is it? Okay.
Yeah. So really, in all reality, we get mostly Lucy, but before coming back to Lucy leaving the vault, we get to go to the Brotherhood of Steel.
Okay. We'll go there.
Yeah.
So we cut to then, it's kind of like a... feels like an army barracks,
yeah,
I guess,
like a military base.
Yeah. And you see these recruits that are kind of just messing around or whatever, but one of them is getting, like, essentially bullied.
Yeah.
And then he starts getting beat up.
But he wants, like, keep going. I want to keep going. But
yeah.
They stop it. And this is, like, our other main character for the show.
Yes.
And he
found out his name is Maximus.
Yeah, which is a name that the Brotherhood of Steel, which is the military, we're going to call it a military, but it's not the military, gives him that name. And he doesn't really fit in too well, but he does have one friend there.
Yes.
And they keep him out of trouble, I would say.
Yeah, yeah. You know, Maximus, and I'm trying to remember.
I can't remember the other one's
the
name.
Other character's name, but anyway, they kind of not loners necessarily, but the both of them don't really fit in with everybody else. So they kind of, you know, buddy up, and Maximus, he's put on latrine duty, and so he's cleaning up the latrines around the base. And if you don't know what a latrine is, essentially it's just a hole in the ground that you shit in, piss in.
Yeah.
But he has to clean them all out and whatever. And so his friend comes up and they're just talking to Maximus and they're just like, oh, you know, this is a shitty job that you guys are like, yeah, it's a two-person job, and, you know, trying to recruit them to help out.
Yeah. And they're like, no, but I got something to show you.
Yeah. And so they go over and there's like a hangar almost, like a mini hangar. And you see, one of the mech suits from the Brotherhood of Steel. There's one point where they showed the Brotherhood of Steel like landing in these big helicopters, and you see like everyone's kind of like amazed by their presence or whatever. And I think it's like four or five of them maybe that show up. So their mech suits are there, and there's no one in them. They're kind of
they're stored right now.
Yeah, they're just kind of there for like storage or maintenance or whatever. But they go up and they're just kind of marveling at them. And Maximus goes up to one and he starts to touch it. And I think this is where you get a flashback.
Right.
Like when he was a kid, there's some sort of
battle
happening, and he's like kind of bloodied up. There's no one else around him, but you see this mech walking towards him that obviously saved him.
Yeah.
And so he's kind of looking up to this mech from the brother. It's not a mech. It's kind of just an armor suit.
Yeah. Think of like the first Iron Man suit.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Yeah, yeah. Like the Mark One, like a big, bulky,
huge,
you know, suit of armor. But yeah, so he's kind of just amazed by it. And then all of a sudden, the kind of like elders come in and they think they're in trouble.
Right. But instead, they just have him get out of there, but they want to see his friend.
Yeah. And they say, oh, hey, you're being summoned. And they whisk them away then.
Yeah. Before we get into what happens, this feels like a bit of a cult.
100%. Because it is like the military, but like the people in charge are not like generals or like lieutenants or colonels or, you know, whatever, admirals, whatever. They're like kind of like
they wear these
priests
robes.
Almost.
Yeah.
And so they cut away then. Maximus is still finishing up his latrine duties, you know. At one point he's like cleaning the one out and like the hole in the ground, it has just like a base on top of it with a toilet seat. And he like lifts the one seat up and then he like it breaks or whatever. He gets freaks out and he just starts slamming.
He gets mad here. So he doesn't do that just randomly.
Oh, that's right. That's right.
He does it because it turns out his friend has been promoted.
Yeah.
To be
a squire,
which they assist the people in the suits.
Yeah.
To help find relics of the past.
The dudes in the suits, they're called knights,
mm-hmm.
and the squires help them. And very much like squires and knights in, you know, like medieval times, the squires, they're there to do everything from, you know, holding their weapons to polishing their armor to preparing them for battle, you know, all that type of stuff.
Yeah.
And so it's funny that they draw that comparison because knighthood in, you know, medieval times was a great honor to be a knight. And to be a squire, that was kind of like, okay, if you're going to be a squire, you're doing so either because you want to be of service to these knights or you're hoping that later you can then become
you're learning from them. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
So they get picked to be a squire and he kind of like doesn't say anything to his friend, but then he goes to clean more and then he gets pissed off and he actually breaks the seat and then starts slamming the seat down a bunch of times and just like loses his cool.
Yeah. You kind of get the sense that he wanted to be the one.
He's jealous.
Chosen.
Yeah. But you can kind of tell even in class, he's a little behind. He has like, they do a quick scene of a class and he can't answer a question right. And he gets smacked across the wrist.
Yeah. Very old school.
But yeah. So we then split to the next morning. He's waking up in bed and his friend's screaming and just pain.
Yeah.
This is disgusting.
Totally disgusting and fucked up.
Yeah.
So he runs over and she sees that their foot, like they were trying to put their shoe on, their boot on.
And it's on.
Yeah.
So he helps them take it off. And
their foot is just mangled.
Yeah.
And he looks in and inside their boot it's a razor, a big, huge razor.
That was like you put in a box cutter.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
But it's long and huge.
So
one of the masters comes in and he's like, what happened? And he shows them the boot, and that's when you see what was inside of it. But when they pull their foot out of that boot.
Yeah.
Oh, my disgusting. Gosh. Yeah.
Disgusting. So I think that's then when they cut to Maximus kind of being questioned then by the leaders.
Yeah. Did you do this?
Yeah.
And now, I'm going to ask you a question. Do you think he did it?
Absolutely.
I think so, too.
100%.
He seems like an okay guy, but he seems like he doesn't have control of his mind sometimes.
So as the episode progresses, you do see that. But even right then and there, I thought, okay, he did this.
Yeah, it's just weird because he walked over to her and like seemed like he was really worried.
yeah,
about them. And then just all of a sudden it's like, I feel like you might have done this.
Well, so he gets questioned by the leaders. He says, you know, do you know who did this? And he says, no. And the leader says, well, a lot of the other recruits say that it was you. Did you do it? And he kind of hesitates for a little bit and says, stutters no. And he's the leader doesn't say anything else, but then he kind of breaks down. Then he goes, but is it crazy that like I wanted to, or that I wanted this to happen?
Yeah. Is that bad? And he's like, yes, yeah, it is.
Yeah.
But yeah. So again, I don't know yet, but I have a feeling he did do it, but who knows? We'll find out at some point. I'm sure.
I'm sure we will.
But, so the leader then asks him, do you have anything else to say? Because there's a guy, there's a knight behind him.
Right.
And kind of keeps forcing him to speak. Like he says, speak, you know, in a real deep voice. And he goes, I just want to thank you. And he says, I want to thank you for the opportunity. Thank you. You know, even if doing whatever I need to do, if that means dying for you guys, that's what I'll do.
Right.
So the leader goes, okay, well, you're going to squire for Titus here.
Yeah. You're going to take your friend's place.
Yeah.
And so they zoom in on him here and he's like happy, but then he's also like, you can see he's crying a bit as well.
Yeah.
And I don't know if he's crying because he's happy and, you know, he got what he wanted, or if he's crying because he's also like afraid.
Yeah.
Because, you know, when life in the barracks there, or whatever, it seems at least somewhat safe.
Yeah.
And if you're squiring for one of these knights, you're going out into the wasteland.
Yeah.
And who knows what you're going to encounter.
Oh, yeah. So then he actually visits his friend, and they say, hey, it'll be okay. I'll be fine. Just got to rest it up or whatever. And they do say, I heard you got the position.
Yeah.
And mentions that they were told, like, he might have done it. But then they say, you never heard a fly.
Yeah.
So, again, this is a very awkward back and forth. Like, this made me feel like he did do it.
It definitely made me think that more as well at that point. Because when his friend says, I told them all that you wouldn't hurt a fly, he has this look on his face and he's kind of just like, that's what you think.
Yeah. He seems like he
seems off.
He does.
Yeah.
Throughout the whole episode.
Right. Right.
But he also seems almost too into the Brotherhood of Steel.
Yes.
Right. You know what I mean? Like obsessed with it.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, I guess the cult. So he fell for it.
Probably. Yeah. He drank the Kool-Aid.
Yeah.
He drank the Kool-Aid. So yeah, they essentially then announce him as the new squire for the knight Titus, and they're all of the knights, you know, the Brotherhood of Steel, they're there standing with their squires, and the leader comes out and he's like, you know, we're sending you out on a mission of great importance, and we need you to find someone who has escaped from, is it the Enclave?
Yeah.
Is that what they call it?
Yeah. The Enclave.
They say that they escaped from the Enclave, and this person has something that is of great importance to them, and it's something that could either destroy their world or bring it into, you know, paradise or the future or something like
yeah.
that.
Yeah, Eden.
I
don't know if they say that, but I do know that he mentions Eden in the ship when he's being interrogated.
Okay.
But yeah, so did you... Before this, the people are on like a radio, and they give him a picture at this scene of like the person they're looking for.
Yeah.
But how they make this picture is you have a grid, and this person's telling them numbers, and they fill it in like a bubble sheet, and then by the end of it, it makes the picture.
I don't think I picked up on that.
Yeah, you could see when they were calling in through the radio, they were like B7, E9, like they're playing bingo. But
okay.
They're filling in these bubbles, and you can see a face starting to form. But then, yeah, when they hand the paper over to him, like, this is who you're looking for, he opens it up. It's that picture.
Okay.
And then they have a companion, which is a dog.
Yeah, yeah. And I think I know in Fallout 4 you had a dog as a companion in the beginning of the game. Did you have one in Fallout 3?
You can get one as a companion. Okay. Like in Fallout, you get different people or animals to be companions.
Gotcha.
But you start off in Fallout 4 with a dog.
But anyway, yeah, so they give him this target, and he's put him on his merry way.
He's got a big old backpack. Like, dude, this is not a backpack. This is the size of him.
Yeah, exactly. This backpack, it has, like, one of the weapons and some other stuff for the knight. But, yeah, this backpack is huge. It's just as tall as Maximus, but, like, twice as wide as him.
Yeah.
So how he can even carry it, I don't know.
It's wild.
But it's funny because they send them on this mission, and all the knights, they're going back to their helicopters. And the knight, when he goes back in, he like jumps, like does this like super jump into the helicopter. And I'm thinking
the whole
like,
helicopter goes.
Yeah. Because these knights, their armor, it's like
two tons.
Like two, yeah, it's super, super heavy. So Maximus throws the bag into the helicopter, and they start going off. And he's on his way now to being a squire for my Brotherhood of Steel.
Now his adventure has started.
Yeah.
So we have two adventures that have started.
Yeah, we've got Lucy, who's going to try and find her dad. We've got Maximus, who's now a newly
squire.
Minted squire for the Brotherhood of Steel, who's going to find a target of great importance.
Yeah, who has been in the same area for a very long time of his life. Lucy has been in the same area for a very long time of her life. Then we get somebody else
there
who has been in the same area for a very long time.
Yeah. We cut to a scene where it's kind of like the outside of a town where you can hear there's like a party or something going on. And this guy is kind of standing watch, you know, guarding his post. And then all of a sudden you just hear like a shot go off. And this guy, you know, he trembles a bit and then he looks down.
And there's a baby doll arm sticking out of his body.
Yeah, yeah. So you cut down and he like slumps over. You cut down and you see this person has this like cannon almost that shot this baby arm into him. And there's three guys that are there trying to infiltrate this town.
Yeah. And they're getting to a spot that pretty much seems like a graveyard.
Yes. Yeah.
They're three. They look like cowboys, which, you know,
they do.
I'm all
they
in
do.
For. I love you play cowboys, right? Which we'll get to this point part in a little bit. But they're in there looking for somebody. And they mention that I can't remember the guy's name, likes to take this guy out every 50 years and take a part of him and like cut a piece of him off. So he's like, yeah, my dad worked with him before. I know. Maybe we can get him to help us with this. And you see like these, it's like almost like IV drips going under the ground.
Yeah, there's a grave site that's kind of freshly dug with these IV bags going down. And so
of yellow liquid.
Yeah, they're the guys there, they're thinking, all right, well, this is the person we're coming to look for. And the one guy in the little group there, he's really nervous. And he's like, well, I mean, you know, can we trust this guy? And I don't know if this is a good idea. And they have a chicken with them. And I guess the chicken is used to, like, detect whether or not the type of person that they're finding is
good
or not.
They say if he goes after this chicken, we shoot him.
Right.
So, because we'll find out what kind of person he is. And there's two types of this, creature or person. So they start digging up this coffin.
Yep.
They set it up and there's a chain on the coffin. So they kind of unlock it and then they get really far away from it and they rip it open. And I love this scene because you get like a side view of the coffin and this like little, it's like a zombie movie almost, like a little hand comes down the side and somebody slowly walks out. And come to find out, it's the guy from the beginning of the movie
who was playing a cowboy.
Now he's got like a real cowboy attire on, like looks really cool. And he's just smooth.
Yeah.
He's not afraid of these guys. He's talking shit. And at one point, he licks his lip and looks down at the chicken. And he walks and picks it up like a pet. And the one guy goes, is that good enough to shoot him?
Right, right. Because
he's just petrified.
Now, you see this guy, you know, obviously he's been there from the beginning of before the nuclear blast went off 200 years ago. So something happened to him that's allowed him to survive
whole
time.
They first call him a mutant. So he was mutated by the blast.
Right.
But then they mention that he's a ghoul, which is, as you can see, if you see most ghouls in the Fallout universe, they don't have a nose. They're very much a zombie, right?
Yeah.
And there's two types. One that still can talk and think and do things. The other one that is a zombie and just eats things.
Yeah. But yeah, he doesn't have a nose. His skin is like
pinkish red.
Yeah, almost kind of like not burnt, but like,
but it was burnt at some point.
Yeah,
it's raw skin almost. It looks like yeah,
exactly.
For sure, this is incredible effect, by the way.
Yes, the makeup here looks really, really good
because it looks like him, but there's no nose there.
Yeah,
it's really weird to see that.
Yeah, and Walter Goggins, like he His teeth, he's got a very toothy mouth, very toothy smile.
Yeah, yeah, nice set of teeth, for sure.
Yeah, but like you can tell it's him by looking at that, and then obviously the way he talks as well. Essentially these guys, they tell him, they say, hey, look, there is a bounty out there with a huge payday, one that, you know, if I can get this payday, it'll be good for me and anyone else that's with me to like live like kings.
It'd be our last job. Yeah.
Yeah. It'd be one last job that you could do. So they're trying to recruit him to help them out. Now, it seems like they went to him for a very specific reason, that he has a particular set of skills. but they don't really get into too much as to why they went to him.
Right. So they're bounty hunters, basically. It turns out he's just a bounty hunter that's really good at bounty hunting.
Yeah.
So, but what I love here is he says to him, like, if somebody who tells me and says that this is going to be our last job, their heart's not really in it.
Right. And that it may never have been.
Yeah.
And he tells them, you know what? I do it for the love of the game.
Yep. Dude, can I tell you, I'm going to love this character.
Oh, yeah.
And you know who I'm going to compare him to?
Wyatt Earp, or not Wyatt Earp, Doc Holliday.
Doc Holliday, yeah. Dude. And that's a tough comparison for me, you know. But Doc Holliday from Tombstone, I get the same vibe here.
I can see the parallels
he's
there.
He's so cocky and calm that he'll have some cool one-liners and just he does his thing.
Yeah.
So
Val Kilmer as Doc Holliday, probably my favorite role that he's ever played ever.
It's one of my favorite roles of anybody, really.
Okay.
Yeah. All right.
But yeah, so when he says that, these guys are like, okay, well,
he's gonna kill us.
Yeah, so we got to defend ourselves. The first guy tries to go and shoot him, but he like kind of sidesteps and whatever.
Yeah,
and then he grabs his rifle or he grabs his shotgun or whatever and shoots the one guy in the head.
Yeah,
and his head just explodes.
Yeah,
then he goes to shoot the other guy. And I'm trying to remember, is this the part where like...
So there's one point, I can't remember, I think the head explodes second, because he takes the first main guy, knocks him over somehow.
Yeah.
Takes his rifle. And as he's getting ready to kill the one guy, they get like body to body, and he turns him towards...
That's what it was.
The other one, because the other one then shoots his friend by accident with the gun that has like the baby arms.
Right, right.
So then his friend dies, and then he blasts the dude's head off after that.
Yeah.
And yeah, like you said, it just blows his head up.
But yeah, so then the last guy, the main guy that was there, he's the only one that's still alive. And he, basically like tells him like, yeah, well, you know, if this is a big payday, then I'm going to go get it. And he
says, if this is your last job, it's like, it is your last, this is your last.
Yeah.
And he
pushes him into the coffin. And the chain like wraps around him, and the coffin then falls back into the hole that they dug him out of.
He throws the coffin in that's connected to the chain. The chain is wrapped around the guy already, and the coffin pulls the guy down.
Yeah.
Yeah, and 6 feet deep, I guess, if not deeper, I don't know. It looked pretty far down.
Oh, yeah, at least.
That guy's a goner. And then he walks away all smooth, and he leaves the chicken behind, and the chicken just walks around.
Yeah. Crazy first episode.
I thought it was an incredible first episode.
I thought it was too. I loved the way that they paced each of the different story arcs. I love the way that the characters were being developed.
Yeah.
The special effects are great. The music is great too.
Oh yeah.
I think that's another good thing that Amazon does with their shows, whether it's The Boys, whether it's Wheel of Time, Lord of the Rings, they all have really good music. And I guess, you know, when you're one of the most profitable companies in the world and have deep pockets, you can afford the licenses for,
yeah,
you know,
for
good
sure.
music and stuff. But yeah, everything about the show was great. I really, really enjoyed this.
Yeah. Now, I do want to also say, did you watch the at the end they have like what's coming up for this season?
No, I did not.
Dude.
I didn't.
That looks amazing.
I didn't want to watch. I had seen like the beginning of it, or whatever, and I was like, no, I'm going to cut this off. I was curious though, like, when the credits come on, if there was like you know, any like Easter eggs or post credit scenes or anything like that. There wasn't, obviously, but yeah. Overall, great first episode. Very excited to see what comes next for the rest of the season. They actually dropped it a day early. It was supposed to come out, would have been today, the 11th.
Yeah.
But they dropped it a day early for some reason. I'm wondering if they dropped it early because maybe it leaked out there online or something.
Maybe. Yeah, it's possible. I don't know why they're doing it. Or maybe the hype is just getting so up there. They're like, yeah, okay, fine. We'll give it to you.
Maybe. Maybe. So, yeah, they released it yesterday. All 8 episodes, I think it is, are out. And I know you were saying that you had a hard time not binging and watching, you know, more episodes.
I've watched the first 2 so far, and I stopped.
Same.
And I was like, I kind of watch the next one, but I did not. So we'll see. We'll see. I don't. I'll let you know if I can control myself or not.
I don't think you will. You have terrible self-control.
In certain things, dude.
Let's not
tell the world I have terrible self-control.
2 things you're in short supply of. One is self-control. The other is patience.
Patience, you're right on.
And that's like a formula for not being able to wait to watch the next episode.
Yeah, not binge something. You're right on the patience. I have self-control, guys. All right? Patience I don't have.
But yeah, either way, I was pleasantly surprised by how much I liked this episode. And I hope that this show does well enough that, you know, depending on how it ends, that we get another season. But yeah, I think the 2 things I'm most looking forward to are the storyline with the Brotherhood of Steel, because I think that's a very interesting storyline, and the way that they're so different from the rest of the people on the surface. Like, I don't want to spoil too much, but you kind of get it in the trailer. Like, the people that are on the surface are mostly like poor, very, you know, kind of Mad Max,
lawless,
water world type, you know, people that it's just like everybody's just trying to survive, essentially. But the Brotherhood of Steel, they're more civilized. They're more
civilized, but in a weird way.
Yeah. So I'm excited for where that storyline goes. And then I'm also wanting to figure out, like, what is it that is going on with Lucy's dad? Because they were there, it seems, specifically for him.
Yeah, like I said, I think she says his name.
I can't remember.
Before he knocks out.
I can't remember.
Or says his name, and then the daughter realizes, like, how do you know his
name? There's something going on there, because the guy says that he knows the lady.
Who she is.
Yeah.
How would he know who she is?
So there's some connection there.
Yeah.
But yeah, very excited, very much looking forward to the rest of the show, and kind of also wondering if there's going to be any sort of cameos from characters from any of the games.
It'd be difficult because 3 took place in Washington, D.C. New Vegas, Fallout New Vegas is close enough to that area, New Vegas in California, but yeah, I don't know.
Well, and I know in Fallout 4, like, there's the one dude that's kind of like the leader of like the town that you start out in, that there was always like these memes with him because he like has some line that he like says over and over.
I can't remember what it was.
Where it's like something like the town needs help or something like that. But I'm wondering if they'll have some sort of Easter egg like that.
I wish there was some kind of Easter egg. So in Fallout 3, the biggest thing is like there was a town right away that there was an atomic bomb just sitting in the middle of.
Oh.
And that was like, I forget what the name of the town was, but it had something to do with the fact that the bomb was there. But there was a point where you could set that bomb off in the game. So I would like there to be a reference somehow to that, because that was super popular because I set that bomb off.
Nice.
Yeah.
Now, I will say this. The other thing that had me excited after watching this show was like, man, I kind of want to go back and finish Fallout 4 because I never finished it. Open world games, I'm terrible at because they're so fun and there's so much to do. But one of 2 things either happens. Either A, I automatically just go and just do a bunch of side quests because I just want to get leveled up so I can just like demolish, you know, all the regular parts of the game. Or B, I'll play through the main part of the game, but then once I realize or sense or know that I'm getting towards the end, I'm like, damn, there's all these side quests that I maybe start here that I want to do or that I want to.
And then you don't finish the game.
Right, yeah. And so I never finished Fallout 4. I got pretty far.
But I've heard a lot of people go back to Fallout 4 and Fallout 76, which is like the online play game, which apparently has gotten a lot better. But
Fallout 76 had a very terrible launch, but over the last couple of years, apparently had gotten very good.
Has patched a lot.
So I kind of maybe want to try that out.
Yeah, so let us know if, like, has this made you want to even try the video game if you haven't played it, or go back to the video game?
Yeah. If you're someone who never played the video games, what did you think of the show? Let us know. We're going to be bringing you more Fallout moving forward. This will be episodes of Fallout coming out every Friday for the foreseeable future here, till we end with the last episode of this season. And yeah, we want to hear from you guys what your thoughts are on the show, what your thoughts are on the game. Are you excited for the show? What are your predictions? Hit us up on social media. We're on TikTok, YouTube, X/Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, pretty much anywhere where you want to interact with us, we'll be there.
We're there.
Yeah. All right, everybody. Well, we will see you next week. Peace.